On Wednesday night, I announced my sermon topic for this morning. So if you could be any animal you wanted to be, what animal would you be? If you could be any animal you wanted to be, what would you be? Well, Bill Mallarney walked out Wednesday night and he said, a duck. Now, that's an interesting choice. Why a duck? He said it can walk on the ground, it can fly in the air, it can swim in the water, and it can dive and swim underneath the water. I thought, that's a pretty good answer. It can cover just about anything. There's a lot of tests you can take online these days, a lot of games and all that kind of stuff, and I don't get into any of those things at all, but they ask questions like that. One of the questions they asked, I saw, is there, what period of history are you best suited for? And you can go through and answer a bunch of questions, I'm assuming, go through and answer these questions that will have to do with different times and seasons or whatever, and it'll tell you, you know, you should have been born in the 1600s, or you should have lived this time or that time. You know, they're fun little games, waste of time, but fun little games that you can play and learn something maybe about yourself you didn't know. There's some of them say, what U.S. state should you live in? And they'll ask you questions, I assume, about weather, maybe about politics or different things, and they'll tell you you should live in some state wherever it is. All right. Well, there is another one, and it asks you, if you were an animal, what animal would you be? So I thought for the purposes of this message alone, I would go ahead and take that quiz. And so I went on and took the quiz of what animal I should be and answered 21 questions that I thought didn't really mean much to me. I guess psychologists, you know, to them, there's a reasoning for you answering. So I found out after 21 questions that if I were an animal, I would be, and I'm not going to tell you the answer because I don't want you to know. No, I'm just kidding. I would be an elephant. I wasn't sure how to take that. You know, as a bigger guy, elephant, there's only one thing that elephant means to me, and that's fat. So I'm not real crazy. But I got to admit, it called it a communicative elephant. So what good that does, I don't know. But it told me I should be an elephant. You know, in the Bible, Jesus, or the Word of God, likened people to different animals. Did you know that? So we're not going to look socially at what animal would you be. I'm glad none of them were elephants in the Bible. But we're going to look in the Bible and see some different types of people that the Lord likened to types of animals. You're familiar, and these aren't ones we're going to look at, you're familiar with the Lord said to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, he was talking to people. To be wise as a serpent, so there's a character trait. Harmless as doves, there's a character trait. Are you a serpent? Are you a dove? He talked to the false prophets and said they were sheep in wolves' clothing. Wolves. He called them ravening wolves at another. So the Lord used animal life as a picture story of some human beings. So what I want to give you this morning, and I'm going to give it in a food chain. I'm going to start with the worst and go to the best. But I want you to decide, what animal are you? Out of the different ones, we've got six of them we're going to look at this morning that in the Bible are not just animals in the Bible. I was talking to my son yesterday. We were at our granddaughter's birthday party, and I was telling him what I was going to preach on this morning. He said, well, what about the fish? You know, the fish with the coin in its mouth. You know, he's a provider. I said, well, the Lord didn't liken anybody to a fish. So these are ones that in the Bible are likened to a certain animal, certain people that are likened to certain animals in the Bible, and I find six of those. Now, there may be more, and you might come up with some others as you think of it. But look here at 2 Peter chapter 2, and as I said, we're going to start at the bottom. Now, that's going to offend some of you right away. Because when we start at the bottom, we're starting with one of your favorite animals. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22. Here the Bible says, but it happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog. Uh-oh. Now, this isn't talking about your precious little Fifi. All right, this is not Fido, so don't get offended. When the Bible's talking about dogs, and it talks about it all throughout the Word of God, and it's a very negative context, it's talking basically about the wild dog. All right, we have domesticated in our day something that's kind of unknown to Bible times. And so don't worry about your precious little pet at home. But when we talk about dogs, we're talking about a dog in its basic nature. He says this, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. Yuck. Now he says here in verse 22, notice this. It's according to the true proverb. Now hold your place there and look back, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 26. Let's find the true proverb. The book of Proverbs chapter 26. So the first animal that God is likening people to is a dog that returns to its own vomit. Isn't that an unusual characteristic for God to liken people unto? In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 11, here Peter is referring to this verse in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 11. It says this, 26. What chapter did I say? Okay, you got the right one, I got the wrong one. Chapter 26 and verse 11. Here's that true proverb. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. So God is using a dog as an illustration of a foolish man. An illustration of one that goes back to something that he knew was not beneficial or healthy to him. Here in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, when it says, the dog is returned to his vomit, if you read the text of 2 Peter, here's what you have. You have someone that has all the outward appearances of doing right and being right and being good. Everything on the outside meets everybody's approval. But inside, he has a terrible appetite. And that appetite is to go back to the vile, vulgar, untasteful things that his nature is attracted to. So in this verse, we're reading basically about the unregenerate, the unsaved, the lost individual. The lost individual that can try to straighten themselves out, try to turn over a new leaf, try to get into church and make a good appearance. But when they try it in their own strength and by their own ability, it's not going to last very long. And eventually, the dog is going to return to its own vomit. Now, I hope I'm not speaking to any dogs here this morning. And it's easy to identify dogs because they try to do it. They try to get into it. They try to hang on to it. They try to reform. But they don't have within themselves the ability to do it. And so after a short period of time, they just disappear from the church house. They disappear from the fellowship of the saints. And they go back to the untasteful, vulgar, vile things of the world. A dog has a terrible appetite. We read in the Scriptures about dogs that ate the flesh of Jezebel. A dog is much like that buzzard that'll go after the roadkill. The dog will eat just about anything. There's very few things a dog will not stick his snout down into. It's very cute. Somebody posted a picture on social media somewhere, and it's got a dog with a big donut with sprinkles on it stuck on the end of his nose, and the dog is saying, I don't know who got into those donuts. Donuts are not usually the things you've got to watch out for the dog to get into. But you get a carcass, you get some kind of dead animal, you get something around there, and they'll sniff around and stick their nose down in it. And you know what the Bible's doing? The Bible's saying that's just like an unregenerate human being, just like a lost person. Their nose is stuck in the filth. And they can't see anything outside of that because they're focused on what's in front of them. They ate the blood of Jezebel. The Bible says that they licked her blood after she was killed and slain. The dogs came and licked her blood. Now again, this is talking about wild dogs. I understand that. But these dogs came and licked the blood of Jezebel. I'll be honest with you, folks. It grosses me out when I see you kissing your dogs. When your dogs are licking your faces. Now, I know a lot of you do that, and it's a free world. Do what you want to do. But you know where that tongue's been. All right, now I'm getting off of preaching and into meddling now. I understand that. But this is what the Bible is picturing. Someone that just has an appetite for vile, vulgar, ungodly, wicked things. We read in the Gospels that there's a man named Lazarus, a poor beggar, sitting outside the rich man's gate. And he's covered head to tail with sores, open sores. And the Bible tells us, and the dogs licked the sores of Lazarus as he sat outside of that gate. And the Lord is using this animal as a picture of unregenerate mankind. Now, I don't know about you, but I guess that would sound offensive to some people. Preacher, you're telling me that if I'm not saved, I'm like a dog? No, I didn't say that. The Bible did. I would never say that. That would be offensive. You know, the Bible's offensive to those that have thin skin and are easily offended. The Bible's not offensive to those of great and deep character. We live in a day where people get offended much easier than they did 200 years ago. You know why? Because the Bible isn't in our society like it was 200 years ago. Now people get offended by everything. Why? Their noses are in the wrong things. Noses aren't in that Bible. Noses are in the television. And that stuff that's going on, that silly, ridiculous nonsense, daytime television, good night, they ought to ban that. We ought to have a vote Tuesday whether or not to ban that. And people absorb that and get sucked into that and stuck into that, and then their conversations are all about this thing that happened and that thing that's going on and all this stuff, and the reality in the real world is just lost to them. Because their noses are stuck in that which is filthy and wicked and ungodly. You see, it doesn't have to be pornography. It doesn't have to be dirty jokes and dirty stories and vile, foul language, though you know that's out there, and the dogs just go. A dog does what comes natural to a dog, does he not? You can train a dog to do something better, but he's going to do in his nature what is common for him to do. We had a dog. We had a little Jack Russell Terrier. He was a cute little dog. And that dog, we kept him in the house because we live out in the country and we live right on State Route 21. We wanted that dog to be safe and protected, so we kept him in the house. Two times that dog darted out the front door. He's downstairs, we opened the front door, he came up the stairs out of that door faster than anybody could do it, and right out in the road, and boom, both times. And so that dog, when he ran with a hitch in the rear end. His two front legs were over here, and his two back legs were back like that. When he ran, it looked like he was running sideways. You ever seen a pickup truck or a vehicle where the two axles are off like that? That's how that little dog ran down like that. Why? He did what was natural to him. It wasn't natural for him to be penned up in a house. And the minute that door opened, he just ran out there and had no concern for his own safety. That's the way an unregenerate man is. He does what comes natural to him. He runs after things that are not good for him to run after. He goes out from the protective net that God has put for mankind, and he does what he feels like. And every time he goes out and bam. Now, it might take a while, and it didn't kill him. That dog didn't die from it. But that's what a dog does. A dog does what is in its nature to do because it is a dog. And whether that fool is returning to his folly, or that dog is returning to his vomit, the unregenerate man, the unsaved man, the lost man to God is likened to a dog. That's a rough one. Maybe this one's a little rougher. Read the rest of the verse. 2 Peter chapter 2. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow, you know what a sow is, right? That's a pig. We'll just use that word for the bluntness of it. And the sow was washed to her wallowing in the mire. The dog has returned to his own vomit. The sow, the pig, has run back to the mire. You know, you can't keep a pig clean. Now, I'm not a farm boy. I'm a city boy. I understand all that. But I've been on a farm. I had a great uncle that had a farm down in Alabama. And as kids, we We love to go out there and run on that farm, and we love to chase the pigs. And my brother and I would get out there, and we'd go out there where you had to watch where you ran, because that was a pretty messy area. And we'd run out there, those pigs, and we would run and chase them and chase them and chase them and just laugh and giggle and have a blast at them running away from us, till one of those big mama pigs decided it wasn't a game anymore and turned around and started chasing us. You saw these two little boys are having so much fun, all of a sudden running the other direction. And those pigs, when we chased them, they knew where we wouldn't go. They'd run down in that mire. They'd run down on that hog slop down there because they knew we weren't going to go down there. They were safe if they went out there. And the Bible says that the sow that was washed has returned to her wallowing in the mire. Just like this dog that had outward conformity but went back to its fleshly appetites. So this sow, this pig that had an outward appearance, went back to the dirt it was comfortable living in. And there's a lot of folks like that. They try to reform their ways. They try to get things straightened out in their life. They try a better level of living and a better way of living, and they try, but they don't receive Christ as their Savior. They're not born again. Their hearts are not changed. And so without that change, they have no ability to keep that and to walk that way. Oh, we watch it as a preacher. We watch it all the time. New folks come into the church and they come and they're on fire and they're excited and everything's great and everything's good. And they last for a month, maybe 2 months or 3 months. And then all of a sudden they disappear and you can't find them anymore. What have they done? They've gone back to wallowing in the mire. And eventually you get the phone call and find out this has happened or that's happened. This thing's happened or that thing's happened. What is it? Because a pig does that which is natural for a pig to do. And it runs back into the mire. And there are folks that will make a profession of faith and they'll claim Christ as their Savior and they'll say different things on the outside, but when it's all over, they're running back to the muck and the mire that they were delivered from or were trying to be delivered from. And God likens those kind of people to dogs and pigs. Now again, I know that's kind of rough stuff. And it's very blunt, but you know that's where the Bible is. The Bible is blunt. It makes it very plain. It makes it very clear so we can understand and see ourselves. And you and I that are saved, can we not say amen to that? Can we not look back to before we were saved and say, yes, that's exactly the way I was. Trying to make a decision, trying to reform ourselves, trying to change the way we live and not do certain things, trying to break off from those things with no ability to do it. And then we trusted Christ as our Savior, and wow, what a different world this is. Those things that we struggled with back there now come a little bit easier because of the Spirit of God that's in us. Now we don't go back to the vomit. We don't go back to wallowing in the mire because we've been delivered by the grace of God. So thank God for the contrast that's there. I want you to notice one thing, and I'll just say it, and I won't do much more about it. But notice the pronouns. I always like paying attention to details. The dog is returned to his own vomit. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. The dog is likened to an unregenerate man. The sow is likened to an unregenerate woman. Both of them need God. Let's move up the food chain a little bit. Look back at Luke chapter 13. Let's get away from that one. Luke chapter 13. You'll go home and never look at your dog the same now. Luke chapter 13. Verse number 31. Luke chapter 13 and verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, and that him is the Lord Jesus, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. They're giving Jesus a warning. The Pharisees are trying to put some fear into his heart. Saying, you need to get out of here because Herod's going to kill you. Jesus said in verse 32, and he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow and the third day, and I shall be perfected. You know what he likened Herod to? a fox. Now, we use that word in slang for a pretty girl. An attractive. I'm not sure how those connections got together. What did Jesus mean when he talked about Herod? He called him a fox. You know what a fox is? It's a conniving animal. It's a sneaky creature. We use the expression, there's a fox in the hen house. He's a crafty, deceitful, sneaky, conniving animal. And Jesus likened Herod to a fox. Are you that kind of an animal? Are you a fox? Conniving, sneaky, crafty, deceitful? Again, I grew up in the city, so a fox was Fox and the Hound. You know, the Disney movie? Oh, foxes are cute. They're adorable. They're nice creatures. Then you find folks who live in the country, they're not really fond of foxes. And I remember the first time I got to see one in real life, they had to convince me it was a fox. I thought it was just a little dog. Because it's not very big. A fox is not a very big animal. And with all the stories I'd heard about foxes, you know, oh, they're trouble this, they're trouble that, I thought it'd be some good-sized animal. But a fox is really small. And that's what Jesus was trying to say about Herod. This king, this ruler, he's not everything he's cracked up to be. He's not really that big, that high, and that mighty. You go tell that fox, that little creature, that little animal, put him in his place. You know that a fox, and I had to read this because I don't know this stuff, a fox will only attack animals smaller than itself. I wonder if that's what Jesus had in mind when he called Herod a fox. He would only attack animals smaller than himself. Those with less prestige. Those in lower positions. Those that he could easily manipulate or connive or sneak around. You know, I know some folks like that. Kind of like a bully, isn't it? Doesn't mess with the people their own size or their own ability. They always look at the smaller one and the little guy. And that's what Jesus is calling Herod right here. He says, go and tell that fox. Why did he pick that animal? Why didn't he say elephant? And I'd have to say this. I think an elephant only picks on animals smaller than itself because there is nothing bigger than an elephant. But this fox is one that's small in stature and picks on anything that's smaller than it. The fox in the hen house, the chicken house, going after the eggs. It's not messing with anything that it's going to be in danger from. It's picking on things smaller than itself. And Jesus said about Herod, you go tell that fox. I like the words of the Lord. I like how he could pinpoint things like that. So there's a dog, there's a pig, there's a fox. Look at John chapter 21. Now let's go farther up the chain here. I don't know if it's the food chain, but it's definitely up the chain by manners of behavior. Don't be a dog that returns to its vomit. Don't be a sow that returns to wallowing in the mire. Oh, how disappointing it is when professing Christians do that. Don't be a fox. Don't be those that manipulate those that are less fortunate than themselves. Whether it's intellectually or financially or socially or politically, whatever it is. And then in John chapter 21, you know the story here. Peter has denied the Lord three times before Pontius Pilate. Then Peter in John chapter 20 told, or John chapter 21 told the other disciples, let's go fishing. And they all take off and they go fishing. They're out there fishing all night and they catch nothing. The Lord comes around and calls out to them, and Peter realizes it, who it is. They go into the shore, and they sit around the fire. They sit around the fire. I'll say it a third time. They sit around the fire, just like Peter was doing at Pilate's judgment hall, sitting around the fire, warming his hands, saying, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. And so just as he denied him three times, the Lord now gives him opportunity three times to say, Lord, you know that I love thee. Now, the third time he said it, the Bible says Peter was grieved. Why do I have to say it three times? Well, I don't know that the Lord explained it to him, but we can put it together with hindsight pretty easy. The Lord is restoring him to fellowship. Restoring him to fellowship with God. Peter was out of fellowship when he denied the Lord. His fellowship was broken by his language, by his conduct, by his conversation. And now the Lord, who still loves him and cares for him, now sits down by the fire and restores him to that fellowship. And boy, what a restoration it is. Turn two pages in your Bible, and this same Peter that said, I don't know the man, all of a sudden now standing up on the day of Pentecost and preaching, and 3,000 are being converted. And that happens because of what happens in John chapter 21, when Peter is restored to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse number 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I don't know which he was pointing at. Was he pointing at the other disciples? Peter said, Lord, though all men forsake thee, I will never forsake thee. So the Lord is saying, Peter, do you love me more than these? Or maybe it's the 153 fish he just brought in from fishing that night. Peter, do you love me more than this? Do you love me? I don't know what the Lord was pointing at or referring to. But he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. There's an interesting phrase right there, isn't it? Feed my... You know, that's the only place in the Bible that the word lamb is used that it's not in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. As with the blood of a precious lamb. You know, all those sacrifices in the Old Testament were never called lambs. It was sheep. But here's the reference where lamb is a reference to an individual, to a person. Jesus is not telling him, hey, Peter, back on the farm, my back 40, I got some lambs back there. Would you go feed them for me? He's not talking. He's likening human beings to lambs. And he's telling Peter, feed my lambs. What is a lamb? A lamb is a young sheep. And I looked this up because, again, I'm a city boy, so I've got to get my information. I looked it up. And a lamb is a sheep in its first 12 months of life. Now, again, that means lamb chops. I didn't know that. All right, anything that's lamb, I guess if it's older than a year, it's mutton. Again, I'm getting this from Wikipedia. There's a great source on the Internet. But a lamb is a young sheep. And a lamb is the one that, when I've seen pictures, I've seen people nursing lambs. They never nurse a sheep. They take a lamb and they got a bottle and they're bottle feeding that lamb. Maybe because the mother sheep couldn't nurse it. It got separated from it, whatever it is. But we take care of the little lambs. And what Jesus is saying to Peter, he's saying, feed my lambs. Lambs are those that need to be fed. And the Lord is telling Peter, giving him a charge, feed my lambs. You know who's a lamb? You know who a dog is. You know who a sow is. You know who a fox is. Well, who's a lamb? It's a young Christian. It's one that Peter says has a desire for the sincere milk of the Word. You know how somebody's gone from a dog or a sow to a lamb? Because of their desire for the Word of God. That's the dividing point. For their desire for the Word of God. Didn't it happen to you when you got saved that the Bible that meant nothing to you and was just kind of a, you know, what's it for? Now that you're saved, just opens up everything. It's just amazing. Before I got saved, I touched the Bible one time when my mom punished me and said, I want you to sit down and read the book of Genesis. So I sat down and read the first three chapters. That was kind of okay. And then when I got to chapter 4 and 5, it was just boring. And that was the end of that. But then a few years later, I got saved. And this guy that discipled me told me, he said, every day at lunchtime, we're going to meet back here in this room. And for an hour, we're going to sit back here and read the Bible. And I said, I don't have a Bible. I just got saved. I don't have a Bible. He said, we can fix that. Boom, there it was. He gave me one. And so every day, we'd go back at our lunch hour, and we'd sit back there in the key punch room. We'd sit back in that room, and we would read our Bibles. And I've told you this before. He would sit over there, and he'd be reading so slow. I thought maybe mentally he wasn't real bright or something. He was reading so slow. And I'm over there, everything I'm reading is brand new to me. Everything is brand new. I didn't know anything. And I'm just flipping through there reading and reading and reading and thinking, and here's he going real slow next to me. You know what the difference was? I was a lamb. I was sucking in that milk as fast as I possibly could. You remember that point in your life? Remember that time when you first got saved and everything was just so... What a lamb needs to be fed. A lamb needs to be nourished. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be taken care of. It cannot protect itself spiritually when it comes to human beings. We need to be fed. We need to be protected. We need that guidance. A lamb will follow anybody anywhere. Brother Bill was just telling me the story this morning. He took two boys home that were fighting over a basketball game downstairs. And he took them home and was driving down Steubenville, and here was a little girl, three years old, walking down the middle of Steubenville Avenue, chasing two little puppies. She wanted to see the puppies, and she was walking down the middle of the street, Steubenville Avenue, and Bill, long story short, went over there and picked her up and took her down the street, and they found the mother and gave it to her. You know what that little girl is? It's a young child. It's like a lamb. It needs protection. It needs guidance. It needs direction. It doesn't know where to go. It doesn't know what's safe for it and what's not safe for it. And you and I were just like that when we got saved. And maybe there's somebody here this morning. Maybe you're a lamb. Maybe you're newly converted to Christ, new faith in Him. It's a blessing to be a lamb rather than a dog. It's a blessing to be a lamb rather than a pig. It's better to be a lamb than to be a fox. And so don't worry about being a lamb. Recognize you're a lamb. The Lord told Peter, He said, go out there and feed My lambs. Then look at verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he'd said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Isn't it interesting? The Lord went from feed my lambs to feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And that's simply the progress of maturity. You go from being a lamb to being a sheep. Now the benefit of going from a lamb to a sheep is maturity. A sheep, though it's, and we've all heard the sermons on the sheep and the dumbest of all animals and all that, a sheep is more mature than a lamb is. A sheep no longer needs to be nurtured like a lamb does, to be constantly bottle fed, but now is more mature. Peter said, or Paul said to the church at Corinth, you're yet carnal. I wanted to feed you with meat, but you're not able. I had to still give you milk. They never went from being a lamb to being a sheep. They never matured in their faith. And you and I ought to be looking in our life, and if we are a lamb, saying, yes, but my goal is to be a sheep. I mean, if lamb chops are made out of those that are under 12 months old, you want to be 13 months old as fast as you can. And escape that, all right? Be a mature sheep. The devil likes to prey on the lambs. And we need to become sheep. And the Lord told Peter, He said, Peter, I want you to feed the young. Feed those that need fed, and I want you to take care of those that need led, these sheep. Remember that proverb that Jesus told back there in Luke chapter 15? There were 100 sheep, and 99 of them were in the fold, and one of them wandered out. All right, those sheep still need to be led. And the lambs need to be fed. And the Lord likened us as believers to lambs and sheep. Now, the next time you hear a preacher say this, you're supposed to be a sheep, and a sheep is one of the dumbest animals on the planet. Just say, it's better than being a dog. It's better than being a pig. I'll be a sheep, and I'll be led by God. I'll be a lamb, and I'll be fed by God. Look back at just a few chapters. Look at John chapter 10. You know the verse, John chapter 10 and verse number 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep, Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, sheep need to be led, and they're led by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how you know the difference between a dog and a sheep? Between a pig and a sheep? By the direction that they're going. The dog is returning. The sow is going back. But the sheep is following Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 28, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I want to be a sheep. I want to be a sheep for God. I want to be one that's fed by Him and led by Him and walking the right direction, never turning back, never going back to the vomit, never going back to the mire, but following the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 40. Very simple message this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. Here's the crowning. I mean, it's good to be a lamb, it's good to be a sheep, but here's something even better. Isaiah chapter 40. The last verse of the chapter is a very familiar verse. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They, now again, this is talking about people. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The eagle is a picture of the victorious Christian who's rising above all the mundane things that are down here. The Bible says they shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know, the eagles make their nests in the highest peaks, far above everything else. And they soar higher than all the other creatures. Somebody said it's hard to soar with the eagles when you're hanging around with buzzards. And most of the time that's our problem. Notice that this eagle is a prayer warrior. They that wait upon the Lord. We talked about patience in Sunday school. We didn't like talking about it, but we talked about patience in Sunday school. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's an individual that's in communication, in fellowship with their Creator. And the Bible likens this eagle to one that lives above all that's going around. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 49 talks about the eagle being the swiftest of all the animals. The swiftest, the quickest of God's creation. It can get away from the things down here that would grab it. It can get away from the troubles and trials that are down here, and it makes its perch up high. Now, please don't misunderstand. We're not telling you to go sell everything you have and go live on a mountaintop. We're talking about spiritually, spiritual lambs, spiritual sheep, spiritual eagles. Are those that are in such fellowship with God that the things that want to muck them up down here and grab into them and suck them in don't have as great of an effect as it used to have because we've mounted up with wings as eagles. An eagle is a very noble animal, no, very noble creature. We're in danger of becoming an extinct creature. Now you think I'm talking about physically in nature, don't you? I'm talking about spiritually. We're in danger of the eagle becoming a very extinct creature. Those that can fly and live above. And I'm not talking about the second blessing. I'm not talking about some super spirituality. But I'm talking about one that can walk with God to such an extent that the things down here just don't bother them like they do most folks. That's what it's talking about in verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Not getting caught up. Not getting caught up with all the mundane things. That doesn't mean we're not involved. You know, you don't read too much into that. But not being sucked in and caught up with all the petty things of this life, but walking in fellowship with God. What animal are you? There's pigs, there's dogs, there's foxes, there's lambs, there's sheep, and there's eagles. Every animal along the specter, from the bottom to the top of the food chain, if we can call it that. And the Lord likened all these to human beings. We fall in there somewhere. I don't know about you, but I think our goal ought to be more at this end than it should be down to that end. Our goal should be at this end even more than it is in the middle. We should not be satisfied, but be pressing forward. Now, I'm not an evolutionist. You know that. We're not animals under different skins. We're a direct creation of God. But God has likened us to some of those things in animal life that we might learn the lessons from it. Be an eagle. Be a sheep. Don't be a dog or a pig. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, this morning a very simple message. I believe very clear from the Word of God. You've likened us to different animals in nature.